Our final case for this morning is United States against Mario Mendoza-Valles.
May it please the court, counsel. Good morning, Your Honors. I'm Matt Knoll. I represent the defendant in this case, Mario Mendoza-Valles. Your Honors.
Mr. Mendoza, if you want to raise the thing,
there's
a button
on the side. Just look underneath. Oh, there you go.
Thank you, Your Honor. Your Honor, this case is about what the court is required to do under 3553A. I heard the court say it earlier this morning. We all know that the guidelines are advisory at this point. That's been beaten into our heads. But 3553A sub 4 still says there needs to be uniformity. That's one of the factors that needs to be considered when sentencing a criminal defendant. I think this case highlights the problem we're having post-Booker, which 3553 was supposed to remedy, in that now, in this case, we have a judge who said, I think I need to deter you from coming back to the United States.
You must admit that Mr. Mendoza-Valles was persistent, if nothing else.
I cannot deny that he was persistent, if nothing else, Your Honor.
Really? What does it take to tell him, we really don't want you back here, without the permission of the Attorney General and all the rest of that stuff?
I understand the court's point, and that was in my argument to the district court as well. I understand that point, but we just had an amendment to the sentencing guidelines, and I know they're advisory, but they're really the only thing that we have that embodies 3553A sub 4.
But that's what in that amendment says, you know, if it's your 5th or your 9th or your 35th or whatever it is time, the judge isn't entirely able. That's history, characteristics of the defendants, all sorts of things that are floating through my mind about 3553A. And this judge, if it's 36 months, I'm not trivializing it as a sentence. It's 3 years, you know, less whatever good time, and I assume he'll be removed again at the end of that period. But I just don't see where it is that the judge can't take into account the fact that every time this guy gets removed, he just turns around and comes back.
It's not, I don't want to say that it can't be taken into account, but I think it needs to be justified, the variance here. We're talking about a 70% increase.
But you know, the lower the number, the easier it is to play with the percentage increase. You know, if it had been a 5-month sentence and they changed it to 10, it would be a 100% increase. But it's,
and this is an additional 15 months on top of that.
Yeah, an additional 15 months.
And unlike the two cases that are cited by the government, In Perez Molina and Sanchez Lopez, you had two people who had come back here repeatedly and were committing other crimes. And I know in one of those cases, I can't remember which one, the most recent reentry, he hadn't committed any serious offenses. That's not what we have here. Mr. Mendoza-Valles did have some arrests in the early 90s that were for something other than illegal reentry. But since the mid-90s, he had no arrests. He didn't come to the attention of the cops because he was committing a burglary and the state just didn't prosecute that. He was just literally in the wrong place at the wrong time.
It's a very long list of illegal reentries.
I can't argue with that, Your Honor.
I don't know where we come in, actually, because yes, it's an above guideline sentence. It's not, there are no statutory problems with the length of this sentence. District judges, we say over and over again, do have substantial discretion in picking what they regard as an appropriate sentence.
And I think that therein lies the problem. If we're only going to review abuse of discretion up to the statutory maximum, then we're going to get these large disparities.
We do get more disparity. That was the cost of Booker. You're absolutely right about that.
And here, I feel, the defendant feels, that the guidelines were recently amended to separate out these different categories. If you committed a felony before you were deported, you get so many points.
If this were the world before Booker, you would have a compelling argument. But the stripe of argument you're making, that is, that X was taken into account in the guidelines, was precisely what got rejected in Booker. Even before Booker, the judge could say, well, here was something that wasn't taken into account in the guidelines. The point of Booker was the judge can vary even for something that was taken into account in the guidelines. So how can your argument coexist with Booker?
I think my argument coexists with Booker under 3553A sub 4, where there needs to be uniformity.
There doesn't need to be uniformity. As Chief Judge said, that was the other point of Booker.
Yeah.
Booker, the justices weren't sleepwalking through Booker. They realized that making the guidelines less binding meant more variance. That's just the trade-off. Your argument is an argument suited to the world before Booker. That's 12 years gone.
I understand that, Your Honor. But one of the aims of 3553A is to have some uniformity. And if the guidelines, so the guidelines are advisory and we all know that, but I don't think that they don't count for anything. And that's, the government's argument is the judge in this case has discretion to sentence anybody on illegal reentry.
That's what the Supreme Court has held. The judge must start by calculating the guidelines correctly. And then the judge is entitled to implement a penal philosophy at odds with the guidelines. That's the holding of Kimbrough. I mean, there it is. Maybe good or maybe bad.
But I still feel that the judge has to justify the variance somehow. I mean,
no, otherwise, but your argument is that in the post-Booker world, it's now the appellate courts that somehow have to smooth out whatever undue disparities in sentences are. And the Supreme Court has tolerated a lot. I mean, it's an uphill battle, I'll just say that. I think I understand what you're saying.
And my overarching argument is, Your Honor, is if we keep going down this road that we have post-Booker, we're going to be right where we were before 3553A.
No. We may be right about that.
Yeah.
You're right.
And
okay.
There were four dissenting justices in Booker.
I will reserve any time I have left for a rebuttal.
All right,
thank you, Your Honor.
That would be fine. Thank you. Mr. McKenzie.
Thank you, Your Honors. John McKenzie on behalf of the United States. May it please the court. This is a case where, as the defense counsel admits, he wants the district judge to have explained the reasons for his sentence. And the district judge did. He went in detail about it, about, as the court's noted, the 12 deportations, 9 criminal convictions, 5 of which were misdemeanors for illegally entering, 4 of which were criminal convictions for illegally reentering. The district court gave its explanation of other personal characteristics, and it supported the reasons that it chose to impose the sentence it imposed. Reasonable people may disagree, but the decision is basically in the hands of the district judge, and as long as they articulate the reasons and a rational set of reasons, that decision should be upheld. As far as the other concerns defense counsel raised, such as failure to follow guideline 4A1.3, as this court has stated, you no longer have to follow that construct in making this sort of review.
And do we happen to know, by the way, whether a 36-month sentence is in fact out of line for people who have 12 reentries? I mean, this must happen in the Ninth Circuit, and the Second Circuit, and the Fifth Circuit, and the 11th Circuit, and other places around the country, too.
I don't have that information, Your Honor. It wasn't put out at the
time. Just curious, because it strikes me that a rational district court judge might think that some additional punishment was needed for such a person.
Well, you certainly have the idea of increasing the amount of punishments for personal deterrence. And that certainly would be followed in this case, as you had the last 3 convictions and sentences were stepping stones up, and the last one was before this conviction was 19, now we're up to 35. Clearly the message is trying to be sent to him, please don't come back. You're not welcome in the United States because of your prior convictions. If there's nothing further, Your Honor, we would rest on the brief and ask the court sustain this particular sentence.
All right, thank you. Anything further, Mr. Noel?
Very, very briefly, Your Honor, I'd like to respond to your comment about do we know if this is a reasonable sentence. The judge actually stated that he had actually sat in the District of New Mexico and District of Arizona and had seen many illegal reentry cases. I was hoping the judge would say, and when we see them on the fourth consecutive time or the fifth, we start incrementally raising that, and now you're at 12, so this is my basis. We didn't get any of that. He said he sat there. He didn't say whether or not that is customary practice.
He just left it uncommented on.
Yes.
Okay.
And the only thing I'd leave the court with is illegal reentry is a crime that already contemplates that there's been previous crimes. And that was my argument under the guidelines, that if mm-hmm. they wanted to make successive ones, they would have accounted for that. Thank you, Your Honors.
All right. Thank you. And you took this by appointment, I believe. And
yes, sir.
We thank you very much for your service to your client and the court. Thanks as well to the government. We will take the case under advisement, and the court will be in recess.